case too. A physician had been in the habit of attending a gymnasium, and after he had finished with his exercises, he usually bathed in the pool. The exercise and the bathing seemed to agree with him perfectly, and although he had been taking these baths almost daily, no injury to his eyes could be detected. One night he was awakened by a severe pain in both eyes, which stopped only after the use of morphine. In the morning he was practically blind. The doctor whom he consulted said that he was suffering from glaucoma and iritis. The iris was inflamed and the pupil opaque from the presence of inflammatory exudation. The eyeballs were very hard. This severe inflammation continued for more than 6 months. Accidentally, he heard of my method and came to see me, very hopeful. He told me, after relating the above, that he had had my book read to him and that he had felt decidedly encouraged. Upon examining him, I found the eyeballs very hard, his field of vision contracted more on the nasal side than elsewhere, the pupils of both eyes contracted, and his sight reduced to 1/200. He asked me if I thought that his eyes had been infected or if he had injured his eyes by striking the water when he dove into it. I told him that I did not believe that had anything to do with it, and that his trouble was brought on by mental strain. The patient was advised to practice at home those measures which had already improved his sight while he was at my office, palming, swinging and sun treatment. At his second visit, a few days later, he was further encouraged. The redness of the white part of the eyes had entirely disappeared. The pupil was no longer contracted, but was dilated to the same extent as is found in most normal eyes. He was much pleased that the sun treatment had been of marked benefit. He said that he had read in many eye books that persons suffering from iritis should protect their eyes from the injurious effects of the light by wearing dark glasses. He also said that he was convinced that the sunlight and other forms of light were a benefit to his iritis and not an injury. His condition continued to improve, and in a few days he was able to read the large type of a newspaper without discomfort. I said to him, "Why don't you read the small type?" He answered that he was afraid he would strain his eyes. My answer to this was to hand him a card on which was printed some sentences of diamond type. He was able, much to his surprise, to read the diamond type at about 6 inches. This amused him so much that one could hear him laughing almost a block away. He compared his ability to read fine type with his ability to read the large type of a newspaper and found that the diamond type was easier. He said, "Why is it that I see the diamond type easier than I do the large print?" I replied that it was because in order to read the diamond type, his mind had to be relaxed. If he strained, he could not read it. If he could not read it, he strained. He was advised to read as much diamond type as he had time for. The patient was encouraged to keep up the treatment until a complete cure was obtained. A Case of Absolute Glaucoma by Emily C. Learman. This article contains descriptions, directions for a variety of Bates treatments. A man, aged 68, with absolute glaucoma was brought to me by his physician, who was quite sure that the Bates method could do nothing to restore his sight. This man had had 3 operations on both eyes. The first operation was performed in the year 1924. He had no perception of light in the right eye and could see but very little with his left eye, not more than 1/200. The doctor who brought him was the most skeptical person I have ever come in contact with. His manner in regard to the method was almost insulting, and I resented his attitude very much. I had a conversation with him over the telephone previous to the appointment which was made with his patient. He was to give me an hour with this man, and if at the end of that time I could improve the patient's sight, even a particle, he would believe that Dr. Bates was right when he claimed that glaucoma was curable by his method. I never felt more determined in my life to do the best that was in me for this patient. Before the hour of his appointment, I sent him my book, Stories from the Clinic, by special messenger to him and asked him to read what I had written about the relief of strain in glaucoma. When the doctor entered my office with his patient, One could see by his face that he was ready to prove that his patient would receive no benefit in his sight. I was in a fighting mood myself, and my eyes, I feel sure, told him of my determination to prove that he was wrong and I was right. I informed the doctor immediately that even though his patient was a wealthy man, I would not accept a fee at this time, but if the patient received further treatment from me or from Dr. Bates, he would have to pay a bonus in advance besides the regular fee, for the hard work which would be before us. As I look back upon that day and hour which I spent with his patient, I realize how hard I worked. The right eye, as I have said, had no sight at all because the retina was almost destroyed and there were other complications caused by the operations. Because of this, it was not necessary for my patient to cover his right eye while the left eye was being tested. I produced the white test card with black letters, as the patient sat by a window with the sunlight shining on the whole card. I watched to see what effect the strong light reflected on the card would produce. Immediately the patient drew back, as if the strong light hurt his sight. I was pleased to note this, as I knew then that the patient was sensitive to the strong light which, of course, was in my favor, because sun treatment would overcome this sensitiveness and probably improve the vision. The doctor made no comment. At 1 foot from his eyes, the patient could flash the 200 line, letter C as he moved the card slowly from left to right before his eyes. More than that, he could not see without causing a great deal of effort. Then I changed the card and replaced it with the black test card with white letters, placing the card in his hand as I had the white card. I directed the patient to keep the card moving slowly from side to side and to blink as he moved the card. By doing this, he flashed the 100 line letters, one at a time. Occasionally, I glanced at the doctor's face to see whether he was pleased or not. He might have been a sphinx for the lack of interest which he showed. My next plan was to have the patient palm, which I told him how to do, and while he was palming, I asked him to tell me what interests he had in life. He said he was a banker, so I advised him to remember figures on bank notes as well as he could. Also to remember other things in regard to the work which he is most interested in. I avoided any unpleasant conversation regarding his eye trouble, which he unconsciously referred to from time to time. I explained to him that his poor sight worried him more than he realized, but if he believed in what I was trying to do for him, he would not feel so hopeless in time to come. Jokingly, and half in earnest, I remarked, "You must have a better attitude of mind than your doctor has at the present time," which brought for the first time a smile to the face of the doctor. The patient said he was willing to believe that I could help him, and I know that he meant it. While the patient was palming, I placed the large black test card with white letters upon a test card stand, which I arranged 5 feet from where the patient was sitting, and in an ordinary light. Again I looked at the doctor, but he made no sign of being in doubt or otherwise. This would have been discouraging, I know, to most of our students, but I have had so much experience with people like him, that I paid no more attention to him than if he were not in the room. It was the only way for me to keep from either weeping or gnashing my teeth. After the patient had palmed for more than 10 minutes and had removed his hands from his eyes, I asked him to stand. As I held both his arms at the elbow, I asked him to sway from side to side with me. Of his own accord the patient remarked, with a smile, how relaxing it was to sway his body, and that he enjoyed doing it. At first he did not recognize the card where I had placed it, and I myself did not mention to him what I had done while he was palming. I told him that he was to keep up the swing of his body until he discovered the test card and was able to read some of the letters. I also informed him that he was not to try hard to see any letter, but to keep up the sway. Anyone interested in our work can imagine how happy I was to hear him say, "I think the middle letter of the third line is an O." Before I allowed him to go any further, I told him to sit down again and palm. I felt that the palming had had as much to do with the improvement in his sight as did the swinging of his body. While the patient was palming, I told him to remember anything which was pleasant, that it did not matter much what it was. Some patients enjoy remembering a sunset, or a white cloud in a blue sky. I reminded him of these things and also told him it was necessary for him to shift from one thing to another and not to concentrate on any one thing. While he palmed, he said that he had had a bad habit for years of concentrating or trying to concentrate, which he thought was beneficial, but now realized that this produced more strain and discomfort. It was nice to hear the patient explain these little things to me, because it proved to the
This is hard. Ah.
Case 2. A physician had been in the habit of attending a gymnasium and after he had finished with his exercises he usually bathed in the pool. The exercise and the bathing seemed to agree with him perfectly and although he had been taking these baths almost daily, no injury to his eyes could be detected. One night he was awakened by a severe pain in both eyes, which stopped only after the use of morphine. In the morning he was practically blind. The doctor whom he consulted said that he was suffering from glaucoma and iritis. The iris was inflamed and the pupil opaque from the presence of inflammatory exudation. The eyeballs were very hard. This severe inflammation continued for more than 6 months. Accidentally, he heard of my method and came to see me, very hopeful. He told me, after relating the above, that he had had my book read to him and that he had felt decidedly encouraged. Upon examining him, I found the eyeballs very hard, his field of vision contracted more on the nasal side than elsewhere, the pupils of both eyes contracted and his sight reduced to 1/200. He asked me if I thought that his eyes had been infected or if he had injured his eyes by striking the water when he dove into it. I told him that I did not believe that had anything to do with it, and that his trouble was brought on by mental strain. The patient was advised to practice at home those measures which had already improved his sight while he was at my office, palming, swinging and sun treatment. At his second visit, a few days later, he was further encouraged. The redness of the white part of the eyes had entirely disappeared. The pupil was no longer contracted, but was dilated to the same extent as is found in most normal eyes. He was much pleased that the sun treatment had been of marked benefit. He said that he had read in many eye books that persons suffering from iritis should protect their eyes from the injurious effects of the light by wearing dark glasses. He also said that he was convinced that the sunlight and other forms of light were a benefit to his iritis and not an injury. His condition continued to improve, and in a few days he was able to read the large type of a newspaper without discomfort. I said to him, "Why don't you read the small type?" He answered that he was afraid he would strain his eyes. My answer to this was to hand him a card on which was printed some sentences of diamond type. He was able, much to his surprise, to read the diamond type at about 6 inches. This amused him so much that one could hear him laughing almost a block away. He compared his ability to read fine type with his ability to read the large type of a newspaper and found that the diamond type was easier. He said, "Why is it that I see the diamond type easier than I do the large print?" I replied that it was because in order to read the diamond type, his mind had to be relaxed. If he strained, he could not read it. If he could not read it, he strained. He was advised to read as much diamond type as he had time for. The patient was encouraged to keep up the treatment until a complete cure was obtained. A Case of Absolute Glaucoma by Emily C. Learman. This article contains descriptions, directions for a variety of Bates treatments. A man, aged 68, with absolute glaucoma was brought to me by his physician, who was quite sure that the Bates method could do nothing to restore his sight. This man had had three operations on both eyes. The first operation was performed in the year 1924. He had no perception of light in the right eye and could see but very little with his left eye, not more than 1/200. The doctor who brought him was the most skeptical person I have ever come in contact with. His manner in regard to the method was almost insulting, and I resented his attitude very much. I had a conversation with him over the telephone previous to the appointment which was made with his patient. He was to give me an hour with this man, and if at the end of that time I could improve the patient's sight, even a particle, he would believe that Dr. Bates was right when he claimed that glaucoma was curable by his method. I never felt more determined in my life to do the best that was in me for this patient. Before the hour of his appointment, I sent him my book, Stories from the Clinic, by special messenger to him and asked him to read what I had written about the relief of strain in glaucoma. When the doctor entered my office with his patient, one could see by his face that he was ready to prove that his patient would receive no benefit in his sight. I was in a fighting mood myself, and my eyes, I feel sure, told him of my determination to prove that he was wrong and I was right. I informed the doctor immediately that even though his patient was a wealthy man, I would not accept a fee at this time, but if the patient received further treatment from me or from Dr. Bates, he would have to pay a bonus in advance besides the regular fee, for the hard work which would be before us. As I look back upon that day and hour which I spent with his patient, I realize how hard I worked. The right eye, as I have said, had no sight at all because the retina was almost destroyed and there were other complications caused by the operations. Because of this, it was not necessary for my patient to cover his right eye while the left eye was being tested. I produced the white test card with black letters, as the patient sat by a window with the sunlight shining on the whole card. I watched to see what effect the strong light reflected on the card would produce. Immediately the patient drew back, as if the strong light hurt his sight. I was pleased to note this, as I knew then that the patient was sensitive to the strong light which, of course, was in my favor, because sun treatment would overcome this sensitiveness and probably improve the vision. The doctor made no comment. At 1 foot from his eyes, the patient could flash the 200 line, letter C as he moved the card slowly from left to right before his eyes. More than that, he could not see without causing a great deal of effort. Then I changed the card and replaced it with the black test card with white letters, placing the card in his hand as I had the white card. I directed the patient to keep the card moving slowly from side to side and to blink as he moved the card. By doing this, he flashed the 100 line letters, one at a time. Occasionally, I glanced at the doctor's face to see whether he was pleased or not. He might have been a sphinx for the lack of interest which he showed. My next plan was to have the patient palm, which I told him how to do, and while he was palming, I asked him to tell me what interests he had in life. He said he was a banker, so I advised him to remember figures on bank notes as well as he could. Also to remember other things in regard to the work which he is most interested in. I avoided any unpleasant conversation regarding his eye trouble, which he unconsciously referred to from time to time. I explained to him that his poor sight worried him more than he realized, but if he believed in what I was trying to do for him, he would not feel so hopeless in time to come. Jokingly, and half in earnest, I remarked, "You must have a better attitude of mind than your doctor has at the present time," which brought for the first time a smile to the face of the doctor. The patient said he was willing to believe that I could help him, and I know that he meant it. While the patient was palming, I placed the large black test card with white letters upon a test card stand, which I arranged 5 feet from where the patient was sitting, and in an ordinary light. Again I looked at the doctor, but he made no sign of being in doubt or otherwise. This would have been discouraging, I know, to most of our students, but I have had so much experience with people like him, that I paid no more attention to him than if he were not in the room. It was the only way for me to keep from either weeping or gnashing my teeth. After the patient had palmed for more than 10 minutes and had removed his hands from his eyes, I asked him to stand. As I held both his arms at the elbow, I asked him to sway from side to side with me. Of his own accord, the patient remarked, with a smile, how relaxing it was to sway his body, and that he enjoyed doing it. At first he did not recognize the card where I had placed it, and I myself did not mention to him what I had done while he was palming. I told him that he was to keep up the swing of his body until he discovered the test card and was able to read some of the letters. I also informed him that he was not to try hard to see any letter, but to keep up the sway. Anyone interested in our work can imagine how happy I was to hear him say, "I think the middle letter of the third line is an O." Before I allowed him to go any further, I told him to sit down again and palm. I felt that the palming had had as much to do with the improvement in his sight as did the swinging of his body. While the patient was palming, I told him to remember anything which was pleasant, that it did not matter much what it was. Some patients enjoy remembering a sunset, or a white cloud in a blue sky. I reminded him of these things and also told him it was necessary for him to shift from one thing to another and not to concentrate on any one thing. While he palmed, he said that he had had a bad habit for years of concentrating or trying to concentrate, which he thought was beneficial, but now realized that this produced more strain and discomfort. It was nice to hear the patient explain these little things to me, because it proved to the doctor who brought him that he was anxious to help me in what I was trying to do for him. This time the patient palmed for about 15 minutes and then we started the standing sway of the body, having him blink regularly as he did before. This time, he read every letter of the 5-line, also called 50-line on other eye charts, seeing one letter at a time and looking away quickly to avoid staring. A great feeling of satisfaction came over me as I saw that the doctor was watching the patient closely. Nothing was said, however, because we both felt the need of silence at this time. The patient began to strain unconsciously to read the next line of letters, but I avoided having him read any further until he had again rested his eyes by palming. This time it was not necessary for me to again remind him to use his memory, for he immediately mentioned how white the letters looked on the black background when he did not look at the card longer than a fraction of a second. I said that it was a good thing for him to alternately remember the black margin of the card and then remember the white letters as he saw them. Or if he possibly could, without an effort, to imagine the letters whiter than he really saw them. After he had rested his eyes in this way for 10 minutes or longer, I placed him in the sun, and with my sunglass I focused the strong rays on his closed eyelids. Some patients draw away when they first receive the sun treatment, but this patient enjoyed the strong light of the sun from the start, which made it easier for me to treat him.